the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. We're so happy you're joining us and tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up on this Thursday, March 30th. How is it March 30th? I'm not quite sure. But I'm Alicia Quibido with Denise Beyer. It's wonderful to have you this morning, Denise.
Oh, so good to be here.
If you're watching us on our live stream or on Catholic Life TV, you see that Denise and I decided it was a jean jacket day, apparently.
Yep.
So
nice the to angels have you. Brought our wardrobe
That's
out.
Right. It happens sometimes. So we'll start this morning with prayer in a special way. We want to remember to pray for the Holy Father, Pope Francis. He is being hospitalized with a respiratory infection. A statement came out from the director of the Holy See press office yesterday saying he had been complaining of some difficulty breathing, went to the hospital for some testing. He does not have COVID, but he does have a respiratory infection and will be in the hospital for a few days just to get taken care of. So we'll pray in a special way for Pope Francis today.
Definitely will. And today's feast day is St. Peter Rigaldo. And you know, I saw he had a quote that said, "Dear Jesus, help others to feel the love that I feel from you." Oh, and I thought that was so beautiful. So going into this last week of Lent, I thought, let's reflect on Jesus's words. What greater love than this to lay down one's life for a friend? And he calls us friends as he goes to the cross. So we pray, Jesus, you desire to die for us that we may receive supernatural life, sanctifying grace, and become a child of God. How precious is this gift to us? Create in us hearts of gratitude and teach us to be appreciative of all you have done for us. May our hearts and minds never lose sight of your gift of life to us through unrepented sin. Amen.
Amen. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hearts of gratitude.
Hearts of
gratitude. A great reminder. Thanks, Denise.
Yes, you're welcome.
Well, we have a great show for you this morning. We're going to hear about two new films coming your way. The first, we'll visit with Christian Kelly. She is the producer, content director, and writer of The Journey, a music special from Andrea Bocelli. That will be wonderful. Andrea Bocelli has an amazing story, but an amazing talent. Mm-hmm. We also, you know, yesterday, the Bishop Mario Dorsonville was installed as the fifth bishop of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau. We'll talk to David Dawson, Jr., director of the Office of Parish Support for Houma-Thibodeau, to talk about this historic occasion. What a wonderful, been waiting.
They have been waiting.
So we'll also visit with David Naglier. He is the producer of In Solidarity with Ukraine, and he'll tell us about that film. Denise and I were chatting this morning. We talked to David about that wonderful movie about Mother Teresa not that long ago, so it'll be great to have him back on the show. Well, we had a beautiful day yesterday, a little bit of rain that I know there was a rainbow somewhere because there was beautiful sun and then just a little downpour for us here in East Baton Rouge Parish. Today will be mostly sunny with a high in the 70s in Baton Rouge. It's going to come close to the 80s today. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-60s in most of our listening area. Temperatures now 50 in Baton Rouge. The hot spot, New Orleans, at 60 degrees. Ponchatoula, 45 degrees. In Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 51. And it's chilly in Biloxi with 49 degrees this morning. We're so happy you're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up this morning. Stick around. We'll be back with the gospel and gospel reflection. It's 5 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. Good Thursday morning, I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's Gospel is a continuation of John chapter 8. Jesus said to the Jews, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." So the Jews said to him, "Now we are sure that you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
Today's gospel concludes the long 3-part debate Jesus had in Jerusalem with Israel religious leaders, identified as the Jews. Jesus makes 3 claims. 1. He has the power to save people from death, which refers both to physical and spiritual death. 2. He is greater than Abraham, who actually saw him. And 3. He is divine. His opponents counter with 2 charges. First, they use the familiar attack of those who lack the facts, the ad hominem assault of personalities. They call Jesus a Samaritan, that is, a half-breed apostate who promotes a false religion. This accusation is so absurd, Jesus just ignores it. Secondly, they claim Jesus is possessed by the devil, which our Lord counters with the example of his holy behavior, for he always honors the Father. Jesus also affirms that he does not seek his own glory. Instead, the Father honors him. Ultimately, it is the Father's judgment that matters, because the Father is the final judge. In this way, Jesus sets up a contrast between the Father who honors him and Jesus' opponents who dishonor him, and therefore they set themselves in opposition to the Father. Earlier, Jesus claimed to reveal the truth that brought humans true freedom. Now he makes an even stronger claim by declaring, "Whoever keeps my words will never see death." Immediately, Jesus refers to spiritual death. But ultimately, even physical death is defeated when the just are resurrected. This is why death should hold no fear for Christians. And so it is in this spirit that St. Paul quotes Isaiah and Hosea, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Blinded by pride, Jesus' enemies could only see a man. So when he said, "Before Abraham came to be, I am," they wanted to stone him because he identified himself with a father. 2,000 years later, Jesus is still persecuted and his faithful followers. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for this morning's Gospel and Gospel Reflection. Well, we thought we'd give you a few events in our listening area, and this will be the last for most parishes. This is the last Friday for fish fries, and everybody looks forward to those fish fry Fridays to help keep that Lenten abstinence, right?
Yes, fast.
That's right, they're fast. Yes. That's right. So, Margaret.
It's a delicious one.
It is. It is, right? It doesn't really feel like you're fasting. But it's a great way. You know, so many of these are run by Knights of Columbus, and we know how many wonderful things the Knights do in our communities. So it's great to support the Knights. So St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland in Albany, Louisiana, they have a fish fry Friday from 4 until 6:30 p.m. That's fried fish, French fries, green beans, garlic bread, and dessert, all for just $10 a plate. It's eat in or take out. St. Isidore Parish in Baton Rouge also has a Friday Fish Fry, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. That is Knights of Columbus Council 4085. Theirs is also $10 a plate. St. John of the Cross in Lacombe has their fish fry now. List. This is a little combo they've got going on. Theirs is 4:30 to 7 p.m. Again, St. John of the Cross in Lacombe. Theirs is $12 a plate, and it is domestic catfish, shrimp, or a combo, and they're going to throw in some mashed potatoes and green beans and hush puppies with that one. Our Lady of Mercy, and I have to say this, one of my favorites. It just reminds me of my good friend Louis Prejean, Knights of Columbus Council 969. We always heard about the awesome things the Knights of Columbus 969 do at Our Lady of Mercy and throughout our listening area. Their Lenten fish fry is in the Activity Center. Plates are $10 and benefit local charities. As we know, Catholic Community Radio is often a recipient of their generosity. They have drive-through, takeout, and dine-in at Our Lady of Mercy in Baton Rouge. They'll take credit cards, cash, and check. So, got it going on there at Our Lady Mercy in Baton Rouge.
Covered.
That's right. St. John Bosco in Harvey has a fish fry Friday night, 5 to 8 p.m. That's Knights of Columbus Council 10057. The Knights of Columbus are always doing wonderful things, so it's a great opportunity to go out and support the Knights of Columbus. Mm-hmm. Denise, you wanted to tell us about something happening tonight at Our Lady.
Most Blessed Sacrament has been doing through Lent on Thursday nights, 5 to 6 confession, and then Mass at 6, and then they have benediction with the singing of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Beautiful. It's really beautiful, a special time. I do think this is the last Thursday yes. night for that. Yes. The next week, I think they have it on Wednesday, but you would need to check okay. their bulletin.
So that's Most Blessed Sacrament Most in Blessed. Baton Rouge, 5 yes. o'clock tonight?
For confession.
Okay.
5 to 6 confession. You can come in anytime in there, and then 6 o'clock Mass. So.
Okay. It's a great opportunity to get to us sharing with Denise. We always go as a family during Lent. That's one of our Lenten traditions, and having our daughter out of town in college, we're just trying to organize when we will go as a family to confession. So take this opportunity tonight at Most Blessed Sacrament. You can also find more events on our website at ccmedia.live. Click on the event tab. It's also a great place to submit your event if your parish is doing something you want everybody to know about it. Check it out, ccmedia.live. Click on events and you'll see submit your event. Well, stick around. Christian Kelly, producer, content director, and writer of The Journey, a music special from Andrea Bocelli, joins us next. It's 15 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 30th. Today we celebrate St. Peter Rigaldo. Every age has its reformer. Peter Rigaldo was just that among 15th century conventual Franciscans. His goals for that group were greater poverty and more penance. While Peter led the charge for a return to a more primitive observance of the rule of St. Francis, change was swirling all around Europe. France and England were fighting the Hundred Years' War. The Byzantine Empire was about to be wiped out by the loss of Constantinople to the Turks. Columbus would soon arrive in the New World. Peter was appointed head of all the Spanish Franciscans in his reform group. He knew how to lead best by example. He had a special love for the poor and the sick. Miraculous stories were told about his charity to the poor. It is said that the bread never seemed to run out as long as Peter had hungry people to feed. Throughout most of his life, he himself went hungry, eating only bread and water for long periods. Peter was an ascetic and a contemplative who was so in love with the Franciscan ideals that he wished to see them lived out as purely as possible. He died in 1456 and was canonized in 1746. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Everyone to wake up. It's 7:18 and I'm Denise Beyer here with Alicia Quivido, and we're very excited. We have with us right now Christian Kelly, and she's the producer and content director and writer of a movie that's coming out, The Journey, a music special from Andrea Bocelli. And Christian, thank you for being with us today. I watched the trailer for the journey. And I have to say, I was drawn in by the beauty and a peace I felt in this small clip of the trailer. So first, I would tell everyone listening, go watch the trailer for A Journey, a musical special from Andrea Bocelli, because I think you're really going to be surprised. So with that, tell us, Christian, first, how did you get involved in the production and the writing of the movie? And tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so, you know, originally Andrea wanted to do this spiritual pilgrimage on the Via Francigena Trail in Italy. It was right out of COVID. The world was kind of emerging from that time, and he felt like it was time to just get out and have some time just in nature and spend some time in prayer. And his wife said, well, why don't we document this? And originally it was supposed to be a very small documentation, and it kind of grew as we went. Just the, you know, it's a big trail, and 200 miles on horseback is a long way to go. So it ended up being bigger than he thought. But honestly, it ended up being such a beautiful documentary of just getting back to what matters in life. Mm. You know, I think during COVID we had that moment, and then I think everything got really busy again. And I think this film reminds us of that once more.
Yes, you're right. I think that's actually what captivated me in watching the trailer, is the beauty as they're riding these horses down these roads. It was just gorgeous. And there was this spiritual, even watching it on the movie, a spiritual sense of the majesty of God because of the beauty. And there was it seemed like a solitude there. And doing it on horses, so I would think quiet to an extent. Where did that idea come from about, from making a journey on horseback? Where did that originate? Because that's not the norm. Usually jumping cars.
Yes, you know, Andrea is an avid horseman. He loves riding. Okay. We kind of talked about that at the very beginning of the film. You know, his grandfather desired for him to have a horse when he was very young, you know, before he lost his sight. He was wanting him to have a horse. And his grandfather was never able to get him one. So after his grandfather passed away, his dad went out and purchased him a horse, because he just he knew that this was a wish of his grandfather. And so from a very young age, Andrea rode horses. And for him, he says getting on a horse is like he's one with the horse. So he went on, rather than walking this trail, you know, he decided he wanted to ride it on some of his beautiful horses.
Well, it is beautiful. So this journey you said is 200 miles. 200 miles on horseback. He must really be used to riding horses, because that's a long distance. But where does it take you? Like, you start, where did y'all start? I did read, and I want you to talk about this too, that at some point in time on the journey, Andrea and his family received a blessing from Pope Francis in person. And I thought, wow. So did y'all start in Rome? And then how did that come about? Or, you know, what was going on? That Pope.
We started, we actually did start in Rome. The Via Francigena Trail spans from Canterbury, England, all the way to Rome. But for this particular part of the journey, he decided to go from Rome, kind of take the trail backwards a little bit, go from Rome to his hometown, Laetico. And that's in Tuscany. And yes, we started actually at St. Peter's Basilica. We started in Rome, and received a blessing. He and his wife and his daughter received a blessing from the Pope for the journey ahead. And it was a really special moment for him. You know, Andrea is a man of deep faith, and I know that meant a lot to him to have that moment. So it was really beautiful.
So I'm sure you and your crew were there, and other people that were involved in the film. How did that impact you too? Seeing you start this movie off with Pope Francis coming out and Andrea and his family there, I mean, you must have felt the overflow in some way. What feelings were coming through you as you began?
Yeah, it was just really just gratitude for the moment.
Gratitude.
I felt like, you know, we were doing this documentary to help other people take a spiritual journey. You know, that was the heart behind it. Like, mm-hmm. not just Andrea taking this spiritual pilgrimage, but inviting others into it. And I think standing there and just him receiving the blessing, or really the whole crew in a way receiving this blessing, was a really beautiful moment. I was so grateful to be there and so grateful to have the opportunity to be a part of this project.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure as y'all traveled, I mean, the 200 miles, this journey, as you say, y'all met other people, and I'm sure all that comes out in the film. Who else did y'all, I know there were other people, singers I saw on the trailer, and does Andrea give sharings? How do you develop, besides just the horses and the beauty of the ride?
Yeah, so within the film, you'll see him take, you know, you'll see them on a journey and having conversations about life, you know, hope, yeah. forgiveness, faith, family. There's a lot of beautiful topics that we cover in this film. And along the way, he'll meet up with several different artists. We have Tori Kelly, Torin Wells, Michael W. Smith, Catherine Jenkins, Two Cellos, 40 Fingers. We have a beautiful, you know, combination of artists. But along the way, he'll meet up with one. They'll ride together, have these conversations, and then they'll end up in this amazing location. Honestly, the locations are so beautiful. Yeah. Even looking back at the film, I was like, I cannot believe how beautiful these places were. But performing a song together that really highlights the topic that they were discussing, and it just, the combination is really beautiful.
It sounds like there's a lot in it besides just the beauty of going on a journey with someone, but the fact that y'all bring in so much of the spiritual and the Lord, that I really do want to encourage everyone to go look at the trailer, because you're going to be captivated and want to go see this movie. Is there any personal insight or a moment that you would want to share with us that you took home during the whole production?
Yeah, I remember sitting in one of the beautiful locations, cathedrals, and music was happening, and this scripture just came to my heart, "Be still and know that I am God." And I think it was just a reminder that not to let the busyness of life choke out those moments of recognizing God with us, you know, that beautiful truth that he is with us. And just to take those moments, you know, we had, like I said, we had that moment during COVID. We had to do that. It was almost like we were forced to take a pause. And then the world got busy again, and maybe busier than it was before. And I think in all the, you know, the stress and the strife and the things that go on in life, like, we just have to sometimes stop and
yes.
be still and know that he's God. He's God over every situation we're walking through.
Yes.
He's God over every problem that comes our way. He's God over every stress and we have. He's God, and he's there. He's there with us. And I think that was just one of the beautiful moments of the journey, was just remembering he is with us.
Yes, and you're right. It is. We need to reflect more on that. Take those moments of solitude.
Kristen, tell us when the movie comes out and how we can watch it.
Yes, so it actually comes out April 2nd through the 9th, so it will be a whole week. And you can get tickets by going to thejourney.movie, and find the theater closest to you. That has it airing. So yeah, okay. thejourney.movie.
Oh, wonderful. So it'll be for a week at the movie theaters. Okay, so thejourney.movie. I did put that link in today's Facebook Live video. So if you go to Catholic Community Media on Facebook, you will find the link, thejourney.movie. So for a week starting in April, you said,
April,
right, Christian?
2nd.
Okay, wonderful,
yeah.
Wonderful.
And I did look, Christian, and it is in our area. It is coming.
Great.
So in Baton Rouge, okay. It'll be playing at the Cinemark on Perkins Row, which I know all of our listeners around here are familiar with. And it's going to be on the North Shore in Covington at a theater, and in Slidell, and in the New Orleans area. It'll be at on the east side at Elmwood, and on the West Bank at the AMC Palace. So, and there are many other areas many other theaters in our area that is showing. So as Alicia said, go and look up The Journey, a musical special from Andrea Bocelli. It's beautiful, clip, and it only, and I only anticipate even more coming out of the movie. And Christian, we thank you so much for being with us today and giving us a little taste, a little bit to a glimpse of what this beautiful movie has for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
You. Wow, I love the music of Andrea Bocelli. Mm-hmm. So moving, just the music. So the music coupled with the scenery and the conversations
right.
and will be amazing. I'm glad that it will be in the theaters.
One little thing I saw was he sings the five, whatever chorus, hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness.
And the setting was spectacular.
Love it.
You couldn't help but be moved.
I will get my tickets for that for sure. That's the journey.movie. Well, stick around. David Dawson Jr. from the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux joins us. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. It's 1:30. Morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio's Wake Up. We're so happy you're with us on this Thursday morning, the 30th of March already. Don't forget, we are having an Advent cruise. I know it seems odd since we're in Lent that we're planning for Advent already, but you can find more information about Advent at Sea 2023 with Father Chris Decker on our website at ccmedia.live. It's not too late to secure your cabin for that trip. Well, yesterday, a historic moment happened in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux as the fifth bishop was installed. Our friend David Dawson Jr., director of the Office of Parish Support in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux, joins us this morning. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Good morning. How are we doing?
Great, great. We're happy to have you with us, and we're so excited for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Your shepherd is here.
Yes, we're very excited. We had a chance the past few days to spend a lot of time welcoming him. And a lot of the community was able to get in front of him and just kind of pray with him. They had a number of masses, and especially leading up to the installation yesterday and the reception afterwards. It was beautiful.
That's wonderful. Well, I know that there were some things leading up to, but since the installation mass was just yesterday, I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because that's something that we don't get to see every day.
Right.
Sometimes we're fortunate enough to see the installation of a pastor at our own parish, but just to participate in and be there for the installation mass of a bishop is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about that, and I want you to tell our listeners about the gold hammer.
Yeah, sure. So we were had the part of, you know, working with the diocese. We all had little responsibilities around the mass, and one of mine was just being outside, out front, handing out programs and welcoming people and that kind of thing. So I was positioned in the back and was able to kind of see it as it went down. And so he had a little hammer and knocked on the back door of the cathedral, and they let him in, opened the doors, and welcomed him in. You know, this is Christ knocking on the door, you know, waiting for us to respond. But when he came in, I think what struck me was when he came in, he was welcomed by the pastoral council of the cathedral there, as well as the rector of the cathedral, and he was presented with a crucifix on a pillow, you know, and what he did, he blessed it, and then he came up and kissed it.
Oh.
So this is obviously a part of your installation, but struck me that, like, you know, I could see in his face he was nervous, but he was excited, you know, as he could feel the weight of this, but he came in, and his first action was to kiss the crucifix. And over the course of the Mass, just kind of praying through being there and his entering into this role, clearly what was clear to me is that although he's got a huge personality, he's so likable, and I think he's got so many natural gifts that are going to be such a treasure for us here. But what he's really, I mean, what he's entering into is a crucifixion, you know, in a huge way. He's allowing himself to enter into being crucified and pouring his life out for the sake of the people of our diocese. Mm-hmm. And so I found myself really feeling the need and the desire to pray for him, that the strength that Christ had on the cross to pour his life out would be given to him. And I could feel very powerfully that, like, Christ was saying, that's exactly what I'm doing. That's exactly why we're here. You know, that's exactly why he came in and kissed the crucifix, was to allow this to be a connection to him on the cross, and that the strength of Christ on the cross and his ability to love in the midst of a lot of deep suffering, in the midst of seeing a lot of brokenness and sinfulness, and being able to remain there in that position, pouring his life out in the midst of that, is like, oh, that was powerful.
Wow.
And to know that that's what he's going to be doing, and that's what he said yes to that, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Initially, and then especially at the installation, yeah. Mm.
You know, it's interesting. We see knocking on the doors of the church a few times. We see it with our the rite of Christian initiation, right? When RCIA candidates come in for the first time, don't they knock at the doors of the church to be let in, Dave?
You know, that's a great question. I'd be guessing, an educated
okay.
guess.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
I'm not positive.
I was just curious because I know pastors do. You know, we attended Father Chris Decker when he was installed at Our Lady of False River, and he knocked and the bishop let him in. And then I know that happens at some point when RCIA people begin their journey. And I was just curious about the about the significance of that knock and really being let in.
Sure.
So
yeah, no, I think I would imagine with the RCIA, it's more like can I be let into the community?
Okay.
I think with the pastor, there's certainly there's part of that, but I also think there's the community being willing to allow the person of Christ in, and like I said, according to the scripture, like, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yes.
Whoever allows me in, I will come in and dine with them, and they with me, from Revelation.
Yes.
So there's a certain level of receptivity to Christ, right? Allowing him to come in and be our shepherd.
That's beautiful. So, yeah. You know, it's interesting, and not all of us can be privy to attending these wonderful celebrations, but you know, now with technology, it was streamed. You can go back and watch it on the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux Facebook page. You can see it in different places. So it was fun when I watched it, hearing a little introduction from our friend Lonnie Thibodaux with Bayou Catholic Magazine.
Yeah.
He was talking about the knocking, and that the bishop could choose if he wanted to knock with his hand or with a hammer, and he chose this very small gold hammer that was actually gifted to him from his father when he was 15.
Oh,
I think
wow.
that is such wow. a neat such a neat keepsake, and just such a nice way to remember. But he said it was a small hammer, and because it was streamed, usually the congregation wouldn't see part of that. You know, the part where he met the folks on the parish council, and when he was received the crucifix and kissed it, that the congregation wouldn't see that happen. But because of the magic of streaming and television, we could all feel like we were a part of that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
okay. So you all have been without a bishop for a while, David. So,
is
everybody lining up at his office door this morning with a little list of things to talk to him about?
Well, I think he's recovering from the past few days. But yeah, no, certainly everybody's lining up. Everybody's ready. But you know, I think they're going to give him a little time. He's certainly, from what we've seen, he's very familial in the way that he interacts with people. He's very grounded. He's very open and available, you know, as far as just his personality and his heart. And I think that lends itself more to, you know, I know from my own office, we've certainly got a lot to discuss, a lot to talk about, a lot of decisions to be made, et cetera, but I think more than anything, I'm looking forward to just getting to know him as father, as a family member, you know, that we can kind of be journeying through this together. And that the rest will flow from that. And I really think that gives everybody here a lot of hope, right?
Oh,
that there's much more of like an accompaniment from a very human level. Like, you know, the thing with the hammer coming from his father, like from what we've seen, he's extremely familial. I mean, I got to watch him interact with some of the priests. Young priests came down from Washington, D.C., to be there for the installation.
Oh.
And it was like seeing, you know, family members come together and just deep hugs, you know, so happy to see one another. It wasn't the formality, it wasn't put on, like that very sincere and authentic familial connection was beautiful.
Oh.
And so it gives me a lot of hope. And I know I'm sad for them that they're going to be losing him, but yes. Very happy that we're going to be able to receive somebody who's very, you know, naturally wanting to connect and to grow as members of a family.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So happy for all of those of you who work at the diocese and for all of the of our friends in the Houma Thibodeaux Diocese to have Bishop Mario Dorsonville officially the bishop, the fifth bishop of the Diocese of Houma Thibodeaux. Well, anything else? Now, that's pretty exciting, but anything else you want our listeners to know about the Diocese of Houma Thibodeaux?
Yeah, honestly, I think I would ask for prayers for Bishop Dorsonville. Mm-hmm. I think he's got, like I said, it's very easy to want to lean on natural gifts and to assume that, like, we finally got the guy who's got the right natural gifts is going to fix everything.
Right.
That's never the case because, you know, our sinfulness and our messed upness within or without the church is always way too deep for anybody to solve on their own. And so I think being able to pray that he's able to be remain close to the heart of Christ.
Amen.
And receive strength there.
Wonderful. David Dawson, Jr., Director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodeaux. Check out the diocese at htdiocese.org. Thanks for joining us this morning, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Well, stick around. David Niglieri, producer of In Solidarity with Ukraine, joins us. It's 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up.
Welcome back. It's 48 after the hour on Wake Up, and we have with us this morning David Niglieri, and he is the producer of a movie, In Solidarity with Ukraine. He has won multiple Emmy Awards as a documentary filmmaker, including some that you probably know, like No Greater Love and Something Beautiful for God about Mother Teresa. And he's also produced many other award-winning films, including some on Pope John Paul II, Pope Francis, and even baseball great Gil Hodges. And now he's made In Solidarity with Ukraine. Thank you for being with us, David.
Thank you so much, and thank you for that kind introduction. Great to be with you this morning.
It's good to have you. David, I think everyone listening can agree with me that as we watch the unfolding of the events in Ukraine, especially in those first few weeks and months, there was just feelings of shock and fear of what our future may hold and the empathy for the people in Ukraine. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in producing this movie?
Yes, absolutely. So I work for the Knights of Columbus.
Okay.
I've been with the Knights since 2009 and oversee our film productions. And within basically 24, 36 hours of the war, Supreme Knight Patrick Kelly, the leader of the Knights of Columbus, launched the Ukraine Solidarity Fund, which was an effort to raise money to support all those impacted by the war. The Knights have membership in both Poland and Ukraine. We entered into Poland in 2005 and Ukraine in 2011. So we have about 9,000 Knights between the two countries.
Wow.
And so immediately the Knights got to work doing many different initiatives, getting food, medical supplies into Ukraine. This was the largest refugee crisis since World War II. Millions of Ukrainians were fleeing the country. So Brother Knights were there at the border setting up mercy centers where people could have access to food, clothing, spiritual support as well. And then many Poles in Poland, Polish Knights, took Ukrainian refugees into their homes. So there was all these incredible stories, and we had film crews documenting it. And then at a certain point last year, we said, you know, we have so many great stories. We have a beautiful testimonial to faith amidst a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn this into a film. And so that's kind of how this film, In Solidarity with Ukraine, was born.
How awesome. Because, you know, I think for us, we see the Knights of Columbus in our parishes, and we, thank God, haven't experienced something like these people. And so we don't see the broader scope of what the Knights do. And I listened to the trailer for your movie, and I was so deeply touched. In fact, I felt pierced when I heard on the trailer this Ukrainian woman saying, "We were afraid to leave our homes." And then she said, "It's not a movie, it's a reality."
Oh,
and that word, it's that what we would watch in this movie you produced, in this film, she wanted everyone to know, it's not a movie, it's a reality. And so how did making this movie affect you personally? Because I know just in that little clip, I felt myself kind of go back because of her words of just desperateness.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I would say certainly it's very, very humbling for anybody in a situation like we have in the West with the problems we have, you know, whether it's got to wait a little bit extra long in line for Starbucks coffee, got to deal with a traffic jam, you have a friend who annoys you, you know, the little trivialities that may disrupt our day compared to what the people of Ukraine are going through. To me, it's been very inspiring to see, and this is one of the reasons why we wanted to make the film, to see how people respond in a crisis and to see, a lot of times you watch the news, and you see about the bombings, you see about the death, and it can be very depressing. And it's true that we need to understand that this is war going on, and to understand the political ramifications. That's important. But there's something else happening, too, that you think you miss in a nightly news or a secular newspaper, and that is the light shining in the darkness. And that is people that amidst this tragedy, amidst these losses, are stepping up to take action and try to fill the void, to step into the breach. And so you have Brother Knights who are bringing in medical supplies, bringing in relief, doing whatever they can to help those who are suffering. And you have people that are leaning on their faith. And I've been very inspired in particular by the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, because this is a church that in the past century has gone through tremendous persecution under Stalin and the Soviet regime. They were essentially banned, and they could not exist. And so they would celebrate masses in the forest and baptisms in basements. And the only reason why the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church exists today is because of simply their faith in Jesus Christ. And the church kind of resurrected in the years after the fall of the Soviet Union. And the Ukrainian Greek Catholics are very much leading the way in a lot of these efforts to step in and to help the people of Ukraine, to help the country survive and to keep the culture strong. And I think the other thing that really impressed me with the work of the Brother Knights, led by Supreme Knight Patrick Kelly, is the creativity. So wherever there's a need, they're stepping up. So, for example, this past winter has been very difficult. A lot of bombings have targeted the power grid. So Knights of Columbus have funded generators that are being sent to parishes so people can come who have no electricity, and during the winter they could have heat and help support themselves during a very difficult winter. So that creative courage that Supreme Knight Patrick Kelly references has really been very inspiring, and something we tried to document in the film as well.
Yeah, so you said about we've watched it on the news and it can be depressing, and that's true. And I know you were quote what you said on an interview on CNA, that it's the greatest refugee crisis since World War II. I mean, that is beyond the scope of most of us today of having lived through and experienced. And we watch it on TV, like you said, but I think, you know, news and TV, it's quick to move on to other things. And there's this risk for us, I think, of becoming desensitized in a way and forgetting the cry of this woman, that it's reality. What can we do here? I'm sure y'all are staying, you and the Knights are staying in touch with what's still going on in Ukraine. What could you tell us right now that we can do? Besides, I know, first of all, pray, but, you know, is there something you would give a word to us on in that regard?
Yeah, well, I think prayer is huge, and that's something we focused on the film. I think sometimes it can be trivialized, you know, thoughts and prayers, but I think the prayers do mean a lot, and that's something the Knights have really leaned into. We sponsor it throughout the year. Holy hours for Ukraine. There's been many, you know, ecumenical gatherings for prayer, and when you interview a lot of the Ukrainian people, that does mean a tremendous amount to them. So that is super, super important. The other thing, if anyone was interested, is to our website for film is ukrainefilm.com. That will link to the Knights of Columbus website and the Ukraine Solidarity Fund. 100% of the funds donated to that go directly to the people of Ukraine. A lot of tremendous work is being done, not only with food and medical supplies, but like I mentioned, creative efforts like the generators, like helping to stop sex trafficking. Many orphanages were forced to flee Ukraine and are setting up shop in Poland. So the Knights of Columbus is helping fund orphanages. So there's many creative efforts to support the people of Ukraine, funded directly by the Knights of Columbus. 100% of the funds go to support that. And going to what you said earlier, it's a very dire situation. I think about 8 million people have fled Ukraine. Yeah. There's about 6 million that are internally displaced. And right now, about 18 million Ukrainians still have urgent needs. So we really appreciate any support that you could provide for the medical supplies, the food, the orphanages.
Okay.
We're purchasing ambulances, generators I mentioned, and many other efforts. So that's one the concrete measure people could have. And we enjoy any support we have for our film, ukrainefilm.com. It's airing across the country and ABC affiliates now for the next several weeks, and after that it'll be available for streaming on our site.
That was the last thing I wanted to ask you, David, before we let you go. We will put that on our website, and we thank you so much for being with us this morning, David Nagerle, in solidarity with Ukraine. Thank you. So as we close this hour, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us in our country. Let us never forget your blessings, and may we always have a heart of gratitude. Bring peace and protection to those that are suffering in war-torn areas and persecuted areas of the world. Jesus, we trust in you.
Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure and tune in tomorrow. Damien will be back. Dina Dow from the Diocese of Baton Rouge will join us. Our guests will be Lisa Flood, Gary Zimak, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, and Terry Dixon with the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper. Have a blessed day.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.